The first reading is from Jeremiah chapter 23. Woe to the shepherds who destroy and scatter the sheep of my pasture, says the Lord. Therefore, thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, concerning the shepherds who shepherd my people, it is you who have scattered my flock and have driven them away, and you have not attended to them. So I will attend to you for your evil doings, says the Lord. Then I myself will gather the remnant of my flock out of all the lands where I have driven them, and I will bring them back to their fold, and they shall be fruitful and multiply. I will raise up shepherds over them who will shepherd them, and they shall not fear any longer or be dismayed, nor shall any be missing, says the Lord. The days are surely coming, says the Lord, when I will raise up for David a righteous branch, and he shall reign as king and deal wisely, and shall execute justice and righteousness in the land. In his days, Judah will be saved, and Israel will live in safety. And this is the name by which he will be called: the Lord is our righteousness. Word of God, word of life. Thanks be to God. The second reading is Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in right paths for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord my whole life long. Word of God, word of life. Thanks be to God. Please rise for the reading of the gospel.
Our gospel reading today comes from Mark. It's the last reading from Mark we'll have for a little while. We're going to jump over to John for 5 weeks and have a series on the Bread of Life discourse. But today, in our reading from the 6th chapter of Mark, we're picking up exactly where we left off last week, starting right after the story of the beheading of John the Baptist. So, the Gospel according to John, the 6th chapter. The apostles gathered around Jesus and told him all that they had done and taught. He said to them, "Come away to a deserted place all by yourselves and rest a while." For many were coming and going, and they had no leisure even to eat. And they went away in the boat to a deserted place by themselves. Now many saw them going and recognized them, and they hurried there on foot from all the towns and arrived ahead of them. As Jesus went ashore, he saw a great crowd, and he had compassion for them, because they were like sheep without a shepherd. And he began to teach them many things. Now we're going to skip a big section where the feeding of the 5,000 takes place. We'll hear John's version of that story next week, and also the story of Jesus walking on the water. And then we pick up after Jesus had gone across the water. When they had crossed over, they came to land at Gennesaret and moored the boat. When they got out of the boat, people at once recognized Jesus and rushed about that whole region and began to bring the sick on mats to wherever they heard he was. And wherever Jesus went, into villages or cities or farms, they laid the sick in the marketplaces and begged him that they might touch even the fringe of his cloak, and all who touched it were healed. The Gospel of the Lord. Please be seated. So, did anyone notice the theme that tied the three readings together? Anyone? There's a word, one word. Shepherd. Shepherd was in all three texts, and that metaphor of shepherding. And I've never loved that metaphor. It shows up a lot in scripture, maybe because I'm a city girl. It just didn't really speak to me. I actually called my mom this week and said, I know you and your brothers raised sheep as kids. What can you tell me about sheep? It really wasn't helpful at all. But today's readings all utilize this metaphor of shepherding, which would have been very familiar and relevant to the original audience. And so as I looked more closely at them, I started to realize that the power of the metaphor really isn't about sheep at all. It's all about the shepherd, the one responsible for leading and caring for and protecting the people. In our first reading, the prophet Jeremiah calls out bad shepherds, the ones who don't care for the people. Jeremiah strongly condemned leaders who abused their power and caused harm rather than protecting and providing. Then in our second reading, the psalmist describes God as the perfect shepherd, one who provides abundantly for the sheep, protects them, leads them to a place of peace and rest, and anoints them with overflowing love. There's a reason that Psalm 23 has been a favorite for generations, because it paints this beautiful picture of care and love and safety. And at the end, when it says that goodness and mercy shall follow me, the word that's translated as follow, it actually means more like chase or pursue. God the shepherd doesn't allow the sheep to just wander off. God will chase after them, will chase them down to give them love, to give them abundant care and mercy. And then we have today's gospel, where Jesus encounters a crowd of people who it describes as being like sheep without a shepherd. But like I said, the metaphor isn't really about the sheep, it's about the shepherd. Remember that this story comes immediately after the story of the beheading of John the Baptist. The people that Jesus encounters are desperate, and they are suffering because they are not being cared for. They do not have a good shepherd. Their leader is one who throws elaborate parties for his friends while the people go hungry, who frivolously offers up half of his kingdom as a party favor while so many people are suffering. The people are desperate and they are in need of care. And that is why they seek out Jesus. They go to all sorts of trouble to find him, even when he's gone away to a deserted place. Jesus went away because he was caring for the needs of the apostles. The 12 come back from their journey tired and worn out. They've been preaching and healing. And so Jesus is showing them the importance of rest. He took them away in a boat to a quiet place, a deserted place, so they could recover and rest. But the desperation of the crowd was so great that they ran ahead on foot and beat the boat there so that they could see Jesus. And there's so much packed into this one little moment. Jesus is caring for the disciples. He's teaching them to care for themselves, reminding them that they need to stop and rest and eat. But also, Jesus cares for the crowd. He doesn't send them away, because the care and compassion that Jesus offers is abundant. There is enough for all of them. And that is so beautifully illustrated, this abundant love of God, in that Jesus shares the love and caring for the 12, but that does not prevent him from also sharing that love and care for the crowds, because there is enough to go around. Another interesting detail in this moment is that when Jesus steps off the boat and sees the need of the people, the text tells us that it was gut-wrenching. The NRSV translated as has compassion for them, but the Greek is actually about guts. Jesus feels their need bodily and deeply. He is gut-wrenched by it. And so he cares for them. He cares for them spiritually and physically. He teaches them, and then he sits them all down and he feeds them, all of them. And we're told that there were thousands. Jesus feeds them until all are filled and there are baskets full of leftovers. Again, what Jesus offers is offered in abundance. It is overflowing. It is more than enough for everyone. I've heard from a lot of people recently who are feeling anxious and fearful. And whenever I hear the news or read political posts, I find myself feeling almost panicked. All of the political rhetoric seems to paint a dire picture of doom so that it can be hard to breathe. There's this underlying message of scarcity that leads people to hold on tightly to their own best interests, even at the expense of others. This fear leads us to defensiveness. Now, I'm not denying the importance of electing good leaders. Please hear me, it is so important. And I'm not denying the very real risk of harmful policies, especially for marginalized groups. I'm just pointing out that the political rhetoric that pushes all of us to a place of fear and anxiety is not helpful. Fear rarely leads us to make good choices. And it can be draining. It can be downright exhausting. But our gospel reading reminds us that when we find ourselves tired and worn down, physically or spiritually, it is important to stop and rest. Like the 12, we need to go away to a quiet place or to a safe and supportive community and rest a while. In fact, we need to take time to eat and to care for our bodies. We need to take time to pray and rest in God's care. Because the good news is that God is a good shepherd who cares deeply about every aspect of our lives. God is gut-wrenched by our pain, our fear, our suffering. And God provides abundantly for all of our needs. This can be so hard to remember in consumer culture where enough is never enough. But God's economy promises that there is always enough for all people to be cared for. We don't have to clutch tightly to our resources or our privilege out of fear. We can rest in God's promise and share God's abundance. And whenever we find ourselves fearful about the future, we can be comforted by the fact that God, our good shepherd, will continue to care for us no matter what the future holds. That even when we walk through the darkest valley, we need not fear. God will be there. Which is just a poetic way of saying, no matter what bad stuff happens, God will see us through. this is not a message of complacency. This is a message of hope. The good news of God's abundant love and care for us is a message of hope, because no matter what, it cannot be taken from us. In fact, God will chase us down to give it to us. And unlike fear, hope is energizing. Hope is encouraging and empowering. Hope is what enables us to keep working for a better world, to participate in what God is doing. And so when we find ourselves bombarded with messages of fear, we can step away, stop for a moment and rest. We can be comforted. We can care for one another. And then we can go back out into the world bravely and with confidence, knowing that God, our good shepherd, leads the way. Thanks be to God. Amen.